One of the remarkable things of this crisis has been the very decisive and very coordinated response of the European Union to what to do with these refugees.
So what happens when millions of people overnight need to grab whatever they can carry and leave their home, their jobs, their country? In this episode, how Europe is handling one of the biggest refugee crises of modern times.
Many economists actually argue that these refugees are an opportunity for many European countries. I am Giovanni Peri. I am professor of economics at UC Davis, and I am the director of the Global Migration Center, which is a center that studies migration from a multidisciplinary point of view.
So the numbers coming out of Ukraine, people leaving or fleeing the war in Ukraine are staggering at this point. You know, more than 4 million or 4.5 million people. Can these neighboring countries, in your opinion, you know, countries like Poland, Hungary, Romania, all that have been under COVID for a couple of years now, spending a lot of money like the rest of the world, can they afford to host all these people?
Yes, this is a good question. So let me start saying that this is a crisis which is quite new for Europe. It's rare that you have a war right at the heart of Europe. I would say that the previous most comparable situation was the war in ex-Yugoslavia in the mid-90s. And the ability of countries of Europe to deal with this type of emergency will certainly be tested. We certainly may not be fully prepared. However, there are a couple of observations from an economic point of view. Certainly, the European countries around Ukraine and the rest of Europe are among the very advanced economies in the world. And so the refugees that will move there will certainly have better perspective than, say, recently the Syrian refugees which have escaped to nearby country in the Middle East, or Afghani refugees who are also escaping their country for moving in other countries which are much less developed. European countries have admitted and allowed a significant number of refugees. And in the recent past, I would say Germany has been the country which has been a little bit the symbol and the example of allowing refugees. In the Syrian crisis overall, they admitted about 1 million refugees. So that was also a very important response. Certainly for Poland, Romania, Moldova, Hungary, which are the closest country, and now they are receiving out of the 4.5 million, at least 3 million are going into this country, could be strained. And in the short run, there will be potentially significant cost. And so will be very important for other countries also to step in and to distribute the burden of these refugees.
And so, as you mentioned there, Europe has seen in the past a lot of migration flows for various reasons. But most of this has been, you know, at least some of this has been what are referred to as economic migrants, you know, people choosing to move rather than having to move. So how does that compare to refugees like these Ukrainians fleeing the war? How is that different from the economic migrant?
So this is a very important distinction. Europe has experienced significantly growing number of immigrants in the last two decades, I would say. And as you say, the overwhelming majority of those were migrants who chose to come to Europe, many from Africa, Middle East, Latin America. But also there has been a significant east to west migration in Europe. The difference with refugees are several. These are two very different phenomena. First, the refugee lives in a situation of emergency, relatively suddenly, with much less planning. At the beginning, they will need accommodations that they have not planned for, and they will have basic needs that economic migrants normally plan ahead and have covered. A second important difference is that they come from trauma from an extreme experience, which could affect their physical, their mental health in the short run. And as a consequence, can make hard for them in the shorter run also to work, to deal with their issue. A third important thing that will be there in the short run is a very large amount of uncertainty for refugees. Again, migrants who plan have a clear path. The uncertainty of refugee comes at this stage from the fact they don't know how long the war will last. They don't know what their final destination is. And finally, the other difference is that normally refugees sort of coming all in a sudden in relatively large groups. All these things clearly in the shorter run generate challenges that the more slower planned and regular migration of economic migrant does not generate.
And so a lot of your work for the past several years has been looking at the economic drivers of migration. Again, not, you know, people fleeing war or persecution, but economic migrants, for the most part anyway. And a big factor is wages, especially when people are moving from a less developed country to a richer country. Was that happening in Ukraine to any great extent before the war? I mean, were there any significant numbers of, you know, economic migrants from Ukraine into Europe before the war?
Yes. Definitely there had been a significant migration of Ukrainian to the rest of Europe and to the rest of the world. There is a significant diaspora, as it's called, so Ukrainians abroad. In Europe, the largest numbers are in Poland, which is the neighbor country, and then in Germany, Italy, France. In Poland, we're talking more than 1 million Ukrainians who migrated. Germany, Italy, France, were in the hundreds of thousands, 200s to 300s of thousands. There is actually a significant diaspora of Ukrainian in Canada and in the US, over 1 million. And if I have to characterize what type or how, what are the characteristics of Ukrainian that moved, in many European countries, in particular Italy and France, in part Germany, there is a very significant women migration. The percentage of Ukrainians migrant, of women Ukrainian migrants is large, sometimes 70% of the total. And this is linked to the type of jobs that Ukrainians have been doing. They have been employed in large part into the hospitality sector, the assistance sector of elderly, of disabled, the personal service sectors. These are sectors that employ a large part of women. While a lot of the diaspora in US, Canada of Ukrainians is, are migrants with relatively high level of education, skilled migrants in more human capital intensive type of sector. So before the war, this is a little bit the picture of Ukrainian migration to Europe and to the rest of the world.
Okay, so now Europe is looking at this large influx of people. What is the strategy here? I mean, do these countries, the host countries, simply provide them shelter while the war plays itself out, or do they help them integrate and become productive in their new home country?
So I would say that one of the remarkable things of this crisis has been the very decisive and very coordinated response of the European Union to what to do with these refugees. So the first point I want to emphasize is that certainly in the shorter run, you know, shelter and primary assistance are a need that some of this country will have to deal with. And this has a cost in the short run. But immediately, actually, and this is very unusual for refugees, the Ukrainian refugees have been allowed to move freely in the European Union to access jobs. So they have been allowed to work. Their children are allowed in schools. As a consequence, the approach to this is certainly dealing with the emergency in the short run, but also learning a little bit from the past and seeing that very important element of integration of refugees from an economic point of view, which then turn refugees from a cost to an investment to an asset for the country, is letting them access labor market, allowing their kids in school. And this is happening. This is an important factor. Now, one thing right now is that a lot of Ukrainian refugees are extremely uncertain. You have to think that many have a family which is split. Some people have left Ukraine, others are there. And as a consequence, many of them are still not very willing to go too far. That's why the neighboring country have a lot of refugees. And so this a little bit concentrate the emergency on those. But a country as Germany, France, Italy, Switzerland are starting to encourage refugees actually to come to travel to these countries with the possibility also of a job, of a school for their kids. So I think this is a very encouraging, very positive, and as we think, as economists think, in the long run, potentially very valuable type of approach to integrating refugees.
And so what are the fiscal implications to supporting refugees at that level? I mean, there's also a political aspect to this where, you know, public perception is such that immigrants pose a burden on public finances sometimes.
So I think that here there is a clear difference between the short run and the medium to long run. In the short run, there will be some costs. I would say it's not super easy to quantify them, but the estimates are that for the European Union, sometimes asylum seeker refugee may have a cost of $8,000 to $10,000 per person in the first year that they are, in terms of housing and support. And that's not trivial. However, all the study also see that in the second, third, fourth year, especially if the refugees access labor market, especially if in the first year also they have been supported and assisted with some policies to find a job, to learn the language, they can turn really and be productive assets. And normally they can be employed, and the income that they generate is much larger than the cost in the short run. But yes, a crisis like this will imply that there is a cost up front, but then there is the opportunity of investing in the human capital of refugees. Many economists actually argue that these refugees are an opportunity for many European countries, because they come at a point in which in many of the jobs that they could and they would take, there are significant shortages of workers. For example, in personal assistance, in hospitality, in food industries. This is a situation in which with the right policies, one could match some of these refugees to these jobs and turn the cost, the short-run cost, into a return for the receiving economy very soon, in fact.
And so with all these incentives, the EU providing them legal status for I think it's 3 years now, allowed to work, allowed to go to school. Some countries are even providing access to health services and other social programs. Do you worry? I mean, is there a potential problem there in terms of the labor market with all these people looking for work? Does it risk increasing competition for jobs and even lowering wages, perhaps?
So it will depend on how many of these people really look for a job and search for jobs, but also what type of jobs they will be taking. There is a way in which this contribution of a refugee can really be more positive than negative, even in the labor market. In principle, there is some risk of competition, especially in the short run, if they all look for similar type of jobs. There have been some very interesting policies for refugees which have been adopted, for instance, in Denmark in the last 5 to 6 years, and in the Nordic country, in which one of the services provided to refugees was to match them with the sector that were experiencing shortages, as I said before, in hiring. This would increase the probability for them to find a job right away, because there is somebody who's hiring, and minimize the competition, because clearly these jobs don't have people available to do them. And this seems to have worked relatively well. So this is one way in which the absorption of the new worker will minimize the competition and maximize instead the stimulus, the positive effect. Of course, another natural thing that I point out, a lot of my research emphasizes of immigrants, is that they tend to do somewhat different type of jobs than natives and be employed in somewhat different type of occupations. And so the competition with natives is not so strong, while instead they also have a stimulating effect at the local level, allowing company to hire, to grow, they spend, and they grow the economy. So not only they are supply of worker, but if they find job, they are also demanding services, demanding good at the local level, which in turn will generate more employment. So research says that it's not automatic that there is a displacement. In the short run, if many of them are in the labor market, there could be some impact on wages. But in the longer run, and especially, as I said, if their distribution across occupation and jobs is sort of complementary to what native do, so is in this job that are experiencing shortages, the effect can actually be very attenuated on wages and in the longer run more positive for the local economy. Hmm.
So what does this all mean for Ukraine? The war will end at some point and they'll be faced with rebuilding the country on so many levels. What would it mean for Ukraine to have lost so many people to migration if they do decide to stay in these host countries?
Yeah, this is interesting. I actually see two scenarios possible. One scenario in which Ukraine ends the war, but it maintains a level of independence, a level of economic activity that will encourage a lot of people to return. As I said before, many families are split. This means that to reunify, if Ukraine goes back to peace, many of them will go back. In this case, if many of them go back, the fact that they have been abroad for a little while may not be a bad thing. They may have worked for a little bit in Western Europe, created some connection, and when they go back, this can help their local economy through trade, through investment, through higher skills and entrepreneurship that they bring. This has been the story, for instance, of a lot of Eastern European countries that had a very big migration towards Western Europe, like Poland, Romania, the Czech Republic. But then in a later stage, they had return, which was important for their economy. So a story of return could actually benefit from the fact that these people have had some experience in Western Europe. Mm. On the other hand, there is also a scenario in which, to the contrary, the war lasts for a long time, maybe more localized, but still people feel that Ukraine is a very uncertain country and they won't go back. And in this case, I think the drain of people out of Ukraine can become even bigger, because then this split family will reunify in the country where their migrants are, so more people can leave Ukraine. And it's normally the case that people who have better opportunity, so the brains, the professional, are the one who will continue to leave Ukraine. And this clearly can generate a situation in which in Ukraine will suffer from the brain drain and in the ability of creating economic recovery. So at this stage, it will really depend, I think, on how things evolve. But I could see how this diaspora could be an asset if they go back and there are the right situation, or it could generate even more drains if things continue to go badly in Ukraine.
Mm. And I assume that Russia will be also suffering the same consequences to a certain degree anyway, with the economy. You know, it's essentially been turned on its head, with many innocent citizens being affected by all that, by the war. Will Russia also have lost some valuable human capital by the end of all this?
This is very interesting. Russia actually comes into this war already having had some remarkable episodes of brain drain and flee. Everybody knows that at the end of during the collapse of the Soviet Union, a lot of scientists, engineers left to come to the West. But then fewer people know that this brain drain has continued when in the early 2010s, when Russia invaded Crimea and became a particularly strong and continued to be an authoritarian state, a lot of Russians left. And now there are news, as you correctly say, that there are hundreds of thousands of Russians who want to leave. This is very worrying for Russia, because on one hand, the people who are more likely to leave are the ones who have the skills that can be easily employed in the West. They are the engineer, the mathematician, the scientist, are people who are crucial to build an economy. And also, very likely to leave are people who are particularly adverse to the regime, who would be the critical voices, who are having a hard time accepting. And so on one end, Russia will lose brains and will lose people who can be very productive. And also possibly, will lose people who would have been the catalyst of political change, generate maybe an even strengthening or fewer voices of dissent internally. So in the longer term, I think that this war, this extreme position taken by Russia, could be very damaging to their economy, and in the longer run could even make this regime more isolated internationally, but maybe more grounded locally, because a lot of the people who would have voiced dissent are instead leaving the country.
Wow, that's very concerning. And so what role do you see the international community play here, in terms of trying to support those lives who've been disrupted, in Ukraine, in Europe, in Russia, while not compromising Ukraine's ability to come back from this terrible human and economic tragedy?
So I think that Europe and the European Union will play a very important role. This idea that countries are stepping up in hosting refugees, in offering them opportunity, and they are coordinating with each other so that no single country will carry the whole burden, but this is distributed. This is a key idea. In fact, it should be how advanced economy manage all refugees, finding a reasonable way to distribute the burden and allow them to integrate. So that's going to be an important role played by the EU, but also, as I said, the United States, Canada, places where some of these refugees at some point will be, coordinating a response, allowing a reasonable number of refugees in this country will be very important. Of course, one other thing that the international community can do is to help the neighbors, in particular the poorest neighbors of Ukraine, which are a little bit overwhelmed. I would say Poland is receiving the most in number and will need some support and assistance from an economic point of view. But even more probably, Moldova is the country that in per capita term is receiving more refugees and is the poorest of this. So supporting Moldova, helping the economy of Moldova also to deal with this crisis, it will be an important role of the international community. I would say that ultimately, and in not too long, also the international community should start thinking of helping the reconstruction, at least of that part of the economy, to get the part which is not in the war zone restarted. Because as we know, another effect has been that the production of Ukraine have been essentially annihilated. Ukraine is a huge exporter of grain, is a very important trade partner with Europe. And so pushing the economy, at least of the part of Ukraine which is not in war, I think is also a very important duty of the international community.
Giovanni Perry, professor of economics at the University of California, Davis, thanks so much for this. Migration is so important for so many reasons right now. I really appreciate your expertise.
Thank you, Bruce. It was my pleasure being with you.
Giovanni Perry heads the Global Migration Center at UC Davis. And for those of you young listeners out there who may be just starting out, I asked Giovanni how he ended up specializing in migration. And I think it's a story worth sharing.
My interest in migration actually was sparked and started when I finished college, and I was in Italy, and at that time you had to do either a military service or a civic service, and I chose to do civic service, and I was sent to the Center for Refugees, actually. These were the 90s, so Italy was receiving a lot of Albanian people coming from Eastern Europe, and I just found incredibly fascinating the stories of these people and their personalities. And I also always was struck by the gap, how the media in Italy already were all alarmed about this invasion of Eastern European and Northern Africa, and how, to the contrary, interesting, valuable, and what incredible assets these people were, both from a personal and from an economic point of view. So that started, then I came to the US as a migrant a little bit myself to do my PhD, and this even strengthened my idea. I met a lot of other people like me who were coming here to study, and so this just cemented in my idea that migration was such an important engine of change, of evolution and growth for the US for sure, but the whole world. And I started doing research, and I continue to these days.
So there you have it, Giovanni Perry, on how a spark of interest can turn into an interesting career doing important work. There are plenty more IMF podcasts with interesting people out there. Look for them on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. You can also follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast. I'm Bruce Edwards. Thanks for listening.